Good morning. And welcome to this house of worship this day. Stuart has a few announcements to get us started.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the visitors. Quite a few announcements this morning. First of all, you'll notice that we have some new carts over in the kitchen. Those were donated by some money from Dick Porter. When he passed away, he gave us $500 to spend for something for the church. And that's Dick Porter was Nancy Childress's brother. And so that's what we've done so far with the money. Next week is the first Sunday of the month, so it's going to be the food drive. And some of you might have heard that there's talk about reducing the food stamp program. So the food banks are going to really be hit hard. So if there's anything that we can do to kind of make up for the reduction, I'm sure that they're going to be greatly appreciated. And speaking of that, we donated 16 cases of water on Friday, and that was quite an accomplishment, and I appreciate all the money that was donated, and it was greatly appreciated by Jesse. Sandy will not be here all week, so if you have anything, Beth will be here in the office all week by herself.
I'll be here.
Okay. Speaking of donations, we do have quite a few of the missions that we do, the Heart Pantry and the Food Bank and Justice Center. If you do want to make any donations to those, you can make a cash donation, make a check out to the church, and in the memo, put in there which mission you want, and Norma makes sure that they get the money, and then the church gets credit for the donations. And Debbie has asked me to announce that tomorrow there is no collage over in the fireside. As you noticed, she's kind of limping a little bit, and she's going to be going to the doctor. And then the collage, soul collage on Thursday is going to be about an hour longer, so it'll be from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Thanks, Stuart. Henry Ward Beecher commented, "The strength and the happiness of a person consists in finding out the way in which God is going and in going that way too." A major part of what worship is all about on a Sunday morning is taking the time to find out the way in which God is going. And a part of what happens in worship is also then finding the strength from God, the encouragement and help from God to go in that way so that we might find the strength and happiness God intends for our lives in finding the way in which he is going and in finding his help in going that way. So as we go about worship this morning, be looking for those things. What's the way in which God is going? And where's the strength from God for me to go in God's way? Reflect on that as you prepare your heart for worship. Sing together for the beauty of the earth.
You may be seated. Prayer of Thanksgiving. Loving God, thank you for creating a world of beauty and opportunity. Though this world is presently marred by sin, thank you for holding this world and us in your caring, capable hands. Gracious Savior, thank you for coming into our world to live among us and to die for our salvation. Thank you for modeling for us a life of integrity, courage, and compassion. Holy Spirit, thank you for never leaving us alone, but filling our hearts with the presence of the living God. Thank you that you continually nudge us in the way we should go. And when we have gone the wrong way, thank you for convicting us of our wrong and assuring us of God's forgiveness. Thank you. Amen.
The scripture tells us that God loves a cheerful giver, so I invite you to give to the Lord out of the cheerfulness of your heart. Lord God, thank you that you call for us to give not out of compulsion and dread, but you invite us to give with cheerful hearts. And there is a tremendous joy in giving, in being a part of your work that you're doing in this world. So we thank you for the gifts that we're given, and we thank you for the givers, and pray for your blessing on the gifts and the givers both. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have the joy this morning of some special music from Carol Maxwell and Beth Mabee.
Looking near.
Let's lift up our prayers for those in need. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who cares about each and every one of us far more than we will ever realize. And you care immensely about the people whom we care about. So we lift up to you in our prayers some of the folks from our church and extended church family. But we pray for Hazel Bacon. Thank you that she has gotten moved into Bob Sitzema's home while her home is being repaired. And we pray that you would take care of Hazel. Give her each day the strength that she needs for that day. We pray for Pat Floyd, who's been having problems with dizziness. We pray that you take care of Pat. Watch over him. Let him know your strength, your closeness to him. We pray for Marilee Marshall as she had fallen and injured her back. And we pray for her as she recuperates from that. Give her a peace, release from the pain. Watch over her. We pray for Beverly Brooks. Thank you that she is doing a little bit better, but still struggling. And we pray for your leading for her as to the decisions she makes for her own pain management, her health care. Pray for Doris Stainbrook, that you would take care of her, give to her all the peace from you that she needs and the strength and hope as well. We pray for your care for Ham and Bunny Gisbert. Renew hope within them. We pray for Greg Wilson as he battles cancer. We pray for your success in that. We pray for Bob Cummings as he has injured his back also, and pray that you'd help that to recuperate well. And Lord, we pray for the people and the ministries of St. Clement of Rome Catholic Church. We thank you that as Christian brothers and sisters, we can be united together and uphold one another in prayer. And there are many churches around this community who are praying for this particular church today, St. Clement of Rome Church. And we join our prayers with all of them. And we pray for Valley View Community Food Bank, as Stuart mentioned earlier, the needs they have are tremendous. And we pray for your direction of that ministry and your provision of the things that they need. And Lord, we pray also that you would fill our hearts with joy, that your children might know your joy, might be filled with your joy, so that we can bring your joy into this world that often gets discouraged and downhearted. But we pray that as Christians, as people who belong to you, we might be kind of conduits of your joy to this troubled world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain seated. Let's sing together, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee."
A reading from the letters. This reading is from Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and it's from the New Revised Standard Version. The works of the flesh. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The fruit of the Spirit. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Now we will have the prayer of illumination. Shall we pray? Calm us now, O Lord, into a quietness that heals and listens. Open wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Speak to us in clear tones so that we might feel our spirits leap for joy and skip with hope as your resurrection witnesses. Amen.
We've been walking our way through Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and we are just about through with that. Next week, we'll look at the end of chapter 7, the conclusion to this message. But today, we're going to take a look at verse 13 through verse 23. And this is what Jesus said. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. In his book, Everyday Discipleship for Ordinary People, Stuart Briscoe tells a humorous story with a serious moral. He says, one of my young colleagues was officiating at the funeral of a war veteran. The dead man's military friends wished to have a part in the service at the funeral home, so they requested the pastor to lead them down to the casket, stand with them for a solemn moment of remembrance, and then lead them out through the side door. This he proceeded to do. But unfortunately, the effect was somewhat marred when he picked the wrong door. The result was that they marched with military precision into a broom closet in full view of the mourners and had to beat a hasty retreat in confusion. And then he adds, this true story illustrates a cardinal rule or two. First, if you're going to lead, make sure you know where you're going. Second, if you're going to follow, make sure that you are following someone who knows what he or she is doing. It's a humorous story because the only thing that was broken was the funeral etiquette. And the only people that were injured in any way was the pride of the people who were participating. But sometimes the fallout of wrong leadership is far more catastrophic, breaking a person's heart, damaging a person's soul, and sometimes violating a person's body. Andy Frost speaks on behalf of people who have lost their faith because of the abuse that was inflicted upon them in churches. He writes, they have not been let down by Jesus, but in some way they have been let down or hurt by the very people who claim to represent him. Their stories are painful to listen to. Stories of cover-ups, hypocrisy, gossip, and the abuse of power. A person who spoke under the protection of anonymity shared, shocking, bewildering, and devastating. I was taught to unconditionally trust the church and clergy. The actions of the priest broke this trust. I had nowhere to go. I was too embarrassed to tell my mother, and I did not trust the church. This led to inner conflict, confusion, fear, trauma, and anxiety. I lost my faith, my respect for the church, my self-confidence and esteem. In righteous indignation over those who have been misused or injured by spiritual leadership, Jesus cries out in verse 15, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. If false prophets come in sheep's clothing, how are we to identify them before it is too late? If Christian leaders present a good appearance, how are we to differentiate between who is trustworthy and who to avoid? Or in worst case scenarios, who to report to authorities? In verses 16 and 20, Jesus provides the answer. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus stresses that the true character of a person will be revealed in the way the person lives and in the way the person treats other people. We are to watch for that. If you find that a person in any kind of spiritual leadership is lacking such qualities as integrity, humility or compassion, do not trust yourself to that person. Continuing on in verse 16, Jesus asks, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Jesus' question here is not actually as simple as it may seem on the surface. William Barclay points out, there is more to this than meets the eye. Are grapes gathered from thorns? Asked Jesus. There was a certain thorn, the buckthorn, which had little black berries, which closely resembled little grapes. Or figs from thistles? There was a certain thistle which had a flower, which, at least at a distance, might well be taken for a fig. If Barclay is on target with these comments, then the point that Jesus is making here is that appearances can be misleading. Just because the berry of a buckthorn looks like a grape doesn't mean it tastes like a grape. And just because the flower of a certain thistle looks like a fig from a distance doesn't mean it is a fig. And just because a person goes to church, carries a Bible, recites scripture, argues spiritual matters passionately, posts cute and uplifting memes on Facebook, does not mean that that person is genuinely following Jesus Christ. If the quality of integrity is lacking in a person, something is wrong. Don't trust that person. If the quality of humility is missing, something is wrong. Don't follow that person. If the quality of compassion is absent, something is wrong. Be wary of such a person. One of the early church fathers, Athanasius of Alexandria, pointed out, you cannot put straight in others what is warped in yourself. A Christian leader who does not have the fruit of integrity, humility, and compassion can never build those qualities in somebody else. Former President Dwight D. Eisenhower adds, the supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible, no matter whether it is on a section gang, a football field, in the army, or an office. Integrity, humility, and compassion are obligatory qualities in the life of a Christian leader. To lead others in the way of Christ, a Christian leader must bear the likeness of Christ. Shane Claiborne and Chris Haw point out, in the South, we have a saying, you are the spitting image of someone. Folks still speculate over how exactly the phrase originated, but I've heard it put like this. It's shorthand for spirit and image, spitting image. It means more than just that you look like that person. It goes beyond just appearance to include character and temperament. It means that you remind people of that person. You have their charisma. You do the same things they did. In the truest sense, Christians are to be the spitting image of Jesus in the world. We are to be the things he was. We are to preach the things he preached and live the way he lived. We are to follow in the steps of our rabbi so closely that we get his dust on us. We are to remind the world of Jesus. In verse 15, the focus is on false prophets or inappropriate leaders in the church. But each one of us has an impact on the spiritual lives of somebody else, of some other people in our own lives. So we must not look at these verses merely as an explanation to us of how to look at somebody else. We need to turn these verses inward as well and consider whether our own lives bear the fruit of integrity, humility, and compassion. Each of us needs to consider whether we are the spitting image of Jesus. As we read through Matthew 7, it seems as though Jesus keeps jumping from subject to subject. In the verses before us this morning, he talks about what gate to enter. Then he warns us about false prophets. Then he discusses good or bad fruit in our lives. Then he moves on to talk about people who call him Lord, Lord, but do not do what he is saying. It almost seems like he's just kind of jumping from subject to subject. But William Barclay explains the apparent scattered nature of this sermon. Barclay writes, "This may be an instance of the Jewish method of preaching. The Jews called preaching karas, which means stringing beads. The rabbis held that the preacher must never linger more than a few moments on any topic, but in order to maintain interest, must move quickly from one topic to another. Jewish preaching, therefore, often gives us the impression of being disconnected." The paragraphs before us this morning may seem to be disconnected, but Jesus is actually stringing beads together. The verses tie together. They unite around a common focus: the call to us to be the spitting image of Jesus in the world today. This is what Jesus is concerned about when he warns us that it is not enough simply to call him Lord, Lord. It's what's on his heart when he tells us that it is not enough simply to prophesy in his name or to cast out demons in his name or to do miracles in his name. The crucial matter is whether we do the will of our Heavenly Father. The crucial matter is whether we bear fruit in our lives that is in keeping with being the spitting image of Jesus. It's what Jesus is concerned about when he tells us to pursue the small gate and the narrow road. Many people are walking the wide path, living according to the image and the pattern of this world. They are loose with their morals. They are arrogant and self-seeking. They live lives of self-absorption while having cold hearts toward others. Few are the people who are serious about obeying Christ and following in his ways. Few are those who are intent upon growing in the spitting image of Jesus. When good leaders lead well, and when Christians get serious about following in Christ's ways, wonderful things happen. One of my favorite stories is a story that's told by William Willimon, which is an example of this. He writes, Philip Haley wrote of the little village of Les Chambons in France, a town whose people, unlike others in France, hid their Jews from the Nazis. They followed the narrow road instead of the broad road. Haley went there wondering what sort of courageous, ethical heroes could risk all to do such extraordinary good. He interviewed people in the village and was overwhelmed by their ordinariness. They weren't heroes or particularly smart, discerning people. Haley decided that the one factor that united them was their attendance Sunday after Sunday at their little church, where they heard the sermons of Pastor Trocmé. Over time, they became, by habit, people who just knew what to do and did it. When the time came for them to be courageous, the day the Nazis came to town, they quietly did what was right. One old woman who faked a heart attack when the Nazis came to search her house later said, Pastor always taught us that there comes a time in every life when a person is asked to do something for Jesus. When our time came, we knew what to do. No wonder Jesus strings together these beautiful beads in this section. Small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. May we seek to grow in the spitting image of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this message you gave on the Mount above the Sea of Galilee. And thank you that you speak so genuinely to us of the need for us, the importance of us to look at leaders and determine whether they have integrity, humility, compassion, whether they are worth following. But thank you also, Lord, that you call us to turn that question inwardly and look at each of us to look at our own lives. Do we bear fruit that is in keeping with following you? Are we simply calling out, Lord, Lord, or are we seeking to do your will? Are we walking the wide road that everybody else is walking, or are we endeavoring to walk that narrow road of obedience to you? Are we seeking to grow in the spitten image of Jesus? We pray, Lord, that you will grow in us your character, so when the times come in our lives, we will do the right thing, because we will have been growing to be people of integrity, humility, and compassion. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together a song I'm not familiar with, but Fanny Crosby songs are almost always easy to sing. So we're going to give this a try. It's called Never Lose the Golden Rule. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance to you and grant you peace, both now and in the life everlasting. May all God's people say, amen. Amen. And we invite you to stick around for some refreshments.